Through the Lord's ministry, he often used illustrations that were taken from everyday life, illustrations that the ordinary people could easily identify with, as well as the mighty and noble. So he told the parable of the sower and the seed, an illustration that they could easily understand. The mustard seed, the lost sheep, the dragnet. And in Mark chapter 2, we have one of these parables, although this parable actually takes two illustrations. And we know it is a parable, because Luke uses that particular word when he describes it in Luke 5, the verse 36. The first part of the parable deals with the realm of clothing, of putting on a patch. When I was young on the farm, our jeans would get holes in the knees, and Mum used to put a patch on to get more life out of the trousers. Now, the jean makers, they deliberately make holes and add on an extra $50 or more to make more money through them. The Lord here is saying if someone had an old article of clothing and there was a tear in it, a hole in it, they would not sew onto it a new piece of cloth. The new cloth refers to a cloth that had never been washed. And the idea is that as this new cloth would have been sewed on, that when the garment then was washed, the new part would shrink, and instead of helping the garment, the hole would be made worse, because the new, the fresh cloth would tear away and make the original hole even bigger. So the first illustration relates to clothing. And then the second part relates to wineskins. We read in verse 22 of bottles, "No man putteth new wine into old bottles." And the bottles there are not referring to glass bottles or earthenware bottles, but they're referring to bottles made from animal skins, probably goat skins. And so they were something like leather bottles, a leather container that the wine was stored in. But those wine skins, they would age and they would lose their flexibility. And so someone might have an old wineskin that had been used before, but it had aged. And they would never dream of putting new wine into that wineskin, because as the new wine would be put in, there would be fermentation, and the skin would need room to expand. But during that process, since the skin had lost its elasticity, it would burst, and both the skin and the wine would be lost. The Lord was speaking these words after the Pharisees and disciples of John had asked him about fasting. And remember, that question followed on from the Lord's dealings with Levi or Matthew. The Pharisees then, they objected to the joy of the disciples. They wanted the disciples to sorrow, to be miserable like them. They certainly didn't want men like Levi to be joyful. If a publican or sinner was to be changed, they wanted them to follow the rules of the Pharisees. And then perhaps they could add on the teaching of Christ. But the Lord was showing that his teaching was not the teaching of the Pharisees plus something else. But the Lord's teaching was something radically different from the teaching of the Pharisees. Their message was one of salvation by works. Salvation by effort. Salvation by outward show. And so the Pharisees taught that if you're to be saved, you must follow the law. And not only that, if you're to be saved, you must follow all of these additional rules that have been added over the years. And we have here the example of fasting. There was only one fast commanded in the Old Testament, but the Pharisees, they were saying you need to fast twice a week. So the Lord then was showing that his message was not works, it was not law keeping plus grace, but the Lord's message was grace alone. And so works plus grace is not the gospel. Works plus grace is a message that brings rending and bursting. Rent clothes and burst bottles. I want them to look at this parable and call it the parable of rending and bursting. I want to see, first of all, the exposure in this parable. And the Lord never went soft on false religion, but the Lord always exposed false religion for what it really was. And I know in these days, some will say, well, the Lord always talked about love, and of course the Lord did often talk about love. But the Lord certainly had no time for false teaching, for false preaching. False religion here was exposed by the Lord to be a failure. The Lord was affirming very clearly that the religion of the Pharisees and Judaism in particular and in general was at that time false religion. That their religion was patchwork religion. Verse 21, no man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment. In other words, the Lord was saying, this is the very thing that you are trying to do. This is the thing that you exhort men to do. To sew a new cloth on an old garment. Or you're like those that would take an old wineskin and you try to pour the new wine into it. That was a religion that failed. I must emphasize here that when the Lord compared the old and the new, the Lord was not speaking against the Old Testament. And there are dispensationalist teachers, and they will take passages like this, and they will say that the Lord was teaching that the Old Testament is gone, and that it's the new now. So you cast out the Old Testament, and ours is the age of the New Testament. The Lord was not speaking against the Old Testament. The Lord did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. The old here is not a reference to the true Old Testament religion, but the old is a reference to works religion. And I want you to understand that the religion of the Pharisees was not the religion of the Bible. And the religion of modern day Judaism is not the religion of the Old Testament. So there are some that they have this idea that the Jews follow the Old Testament and Christians follow the New Testament. Now that is not the case. The Jew does not understand his own Bible. The Old Testament is a book that is centered on Christ. The theme of the Old Testament is Christ crucified. And therefore, the Jew today does not believe his own Bible. His religion is not the religion of the Old Testament. It is something else. The Lord then was not speaking against the Old Testament, but he was speaking against this religion of works. This is why it was so dangerous for the disciples of John to have some relationship with the Pharisees. Remember how last week I mentioned that there is this curious detail how the disciples of John came along with the Pharisees in this particular time. The message of John the Baptist had been repent. The message of John the Baptist had been look to the Lamb of God. And there was here real danger that these disciples of John the Baptist were going to say, yes, we believe what John the Baptist preached, but we're going to add on the religion of the Pharisees as well and follow their man-made rules. That's what happened in the Galatian church. There were people that professed to have responded to the gospel. They professed that they had believed in Christ. But then false teachers came and they said, if you want to be saved, yes, you need Christ and his cross, but you need to be circumcised as well. You need to follow Jewish rituals. Their message was patchwork. It was grace plus works. So Paul wrote in Galatians 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. There is no justification. There is no salvation in law keeping. And every false religion comes under this category that the Lord was describing. Patchwork religion. We think of Romanism. Romanism is itself, of course, a patchwork. It's a patchwork of some Bible teaching, along with Babylonianism. But in that system, they will say, we believe that Christ saves. We believe in the necessity of the cross. But it's Christ plus penance, Christ plus the monks, Christ plus the priesthood. It's a patchwork. You cannot add grace into a religion of salvation by law keeping. Sure, there is a great danger among evangelicals today where there is that desire to mix grace with the traditions of man. Mixing grace with worldliness. Mixing grace with worldly entertainment. Mixing grace with old tribal religion and old tribal rituals. The two can never be one. A patch will always remain a patch. And this religion, then, it is a failure. We want to see, then, also that false religion is exposed by the Lord as foolish. Because in verse 21 and verse 22, we have the same grammatical form in both the verses. It says in verse 21, no man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment else. The new piece of filth. So the form is this. No man would do this or else. We look at verse 22. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles else. The new wine doth burst the bottles. So no man would sew a patch onto this old garment, a new piece of cloth, or else this would happen. No man would put new wine into old bottles, or else this is the thing that would follow. Now, whenever the Lord was saying that, everyone that was in the audience would have agreed with the literal words that the Lord was saying. They would have agreed, yes, no sane person would do that. Now, they knew perhaps from experience, common sense, that no man would do such a thing. While they all agreed with the literal words, they certainly did not agree with the Lord's evident application. See, the Lord was rejecting the religion of the Pharisees because it was foolishness. Anybody that would sew a new piece of cloth on an old garment is foolish. Anybody that would put new wine into old bottles, they are foolish. And anyone then trying to appease Almighty God by human effort, foolish. Man's efforts are like an old, worn out garment. What does the Pharisee say? He says, okay, well, we'll try to add on something else. But the old, worn out garment is still that. An old, worn out garment. Man's self-efforts at self-repair is just like trying to stitch up an old garment. Or he sees new wine and he says, I have an old wineskin. I will use that. It won't work. The skin will burst. False religion is foolishness. That attempt to deceive the Lord is one of great folly. The Lord sees the old garment. The Lord sees the old skin. False religion is exposed to the failure as foolish. And I want to say that it is exposed as futile. It is worthless. It is inadequate. Put a new patch, it can't even stay there. It tears away, and both are rendered useless. It put new wine into old bottles, the skins crack. Both the wine and the skins are lost. Does that not remind you of those words spoken in the book of Jeremiah? Jeremiah 2 and verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. And so rather than having the fountain of water, they said, we'll have a cistern. Tried to dig out the cistern that would hold steel water, but they found it couldn't even keep the steel water. It was all a miserable failure. You see, what the Lord is showing is this, that false religion leads to great disappointment. Someone may try to sew on a new piece of cloth onto an old garment, and at first it looks good, but they soon find they will be greatly disappointed. Someone could add new wine into an old bottle, and they think they have saved on making a new skin. How disappointed they will be. They have lost both. That is the reality of false religion. False religion brings great disappointment. So the sinner says, I want to be at peace with God, but I cannot fight it. He says, I want to be better, but I cannot sustain it. I want to know God, but I cannot find Him. He tries to turn over a new leaf. He tries to be a better person. It never works. It's all just one great disappointment. And I believe the Pharisees were like that. They were disappointed people. They were always pointing the finger at others. Always fault-finding and bitter. It's pointed to the fact that they were really dissatisfied themselves. They had no joy. They were miserable. And I would long, dear sinner, that you would come to see today that your efforts to make your own way to God, they will fail. Your efforts to make yourselves as were a Christian is foolish. It is futile. If the Lord has been bringing you to an end of yourself, if the Lord has been bringing you to see that your effort only does bring disappointment, then there is good news, because this is a parable for you. The Lord has a message for you. For we find here firstly the exposure in this parable, but I want to say secondly the exhortation in this parable. So for the sinner, and that is disappointed, the Lord brings the answer. And the exhortation, firstly, is this. Man must reject his old self-effort. If you look at the end of verse 22, the Lord draws the lesson from this. He says, new wine must be put into new bottles. New wine must be put into new bottles. So if you want new wine, you need a new bottle to have it in. You might ask the question then, what happens to the old bottles? They must be cast away. They're no use. They have failed. Thinking then of the garment, what is needed is this. An entirely new garment. Not a patchwork, but something entirely new. And again then we ask the question, well, what then will be done with the old garment that has a hole in it? It must be cast away. Cast away. And Luke's account, he records the Lord saying, the new agreeth not with the old. The word translated agree there, the new agreeth not with the old. It's the word from which we get our word sympathy. And the new and the old, they are not in harmony. The new and the old, they are not compatible. And they cannot be made to be compatible. And therefore, if you want the new, the old must go. Dear sinner, the gospel message is not come to Jesus and bring everything with you, and the Lord will give you something and you'll have something new along with the old. Many preach the gospel like that, just come as you are and bring everything with you. That is not the gospel. The gospel is come to Christ, but leave everything else behind. So maybe for some it could be their background. And they say, but I came from this good home. I have this good upbringing. The Lord says, put that behind you. Some will say, well, I've made a good effort. I've tried my best to clean up my life. The Lord says, leave it behind you. Confess that it's an old worn out garment. Some say, I made a profession in the past, and it just really hasn't measured up. And the Lord says, leave that behind. Don't depend on it. come to Christ, cast it away. None of those things can save. So stop clinging to them. You need the new. And hear then, surely what the Lord is urging is this: true repentance. Remember how a couple of weeks back we looked at words at the end of verse 17. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And here is then another call of the Lord. I call you to repent. Cast away the old. And the Lord is showing the true nature of repentance. Salvation is by grace alone, dependent on Christ alone. If you turn over to Mark chapter 10, and we read here of the rich young ruler. And this young man, he came running to the Lord. He came initially with great enthusiasm, though he left with bitter disappointment. But at the end of verse 17, Mark 10 verse 17, he says, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And then in verse 19, the Lord says, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness," and so on. And the Lord was saying, you have the Ten Commandments. And from this young man's youth, he had tried to keep the commandments. He actually had deceived himself into thinking that he had kept them. We've all broken the commandments. And so he had not only broken the commandments, but he had deceived himself into thinking that he had kept them. So he said at the end of verse 20, "All these have I observed from my youth." And Jesus, beholding him in verse 21, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest." And I'm sure up to that point, the young man agreed. "One thing I lack. I have tried my best," he was saying. "I have tried to keep God's law, and I think I've done a pretty good job. But I lack one thing." What was this young man trying to do? He had an old garment of works religion, and he wanted a patch to cover up the hole. And the Lord, he exposed that. For the Lord said, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast. Give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me." And the Lord was exposing that this young man was guilty of great covetousness, of love of money. And the Lord was saying, if you are going to come to me for salvation, you must repent of that covetousness. You must cast away that old garment in its entirety. Then come and follow me. How tragic then. Verse 22, he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So in that old garment of works religion, there was in it a love of wealth, a love of possessions. And he said, "I cannot leave that behind." And if he could not leave it behind, then he could not have Christ. Dear unsaved one in the meeting this morning, what is it that you're determined to hold on to? What is it that you are determined to retain? This old garment, this old bottle that you will not let go of. How foolish to keep it, to lose your own soul. The old bottles, they must go. To throw away the wineskin, to throw away the garment, is hard. It's painful. Maybe when you were a child, you had some item of clothing that you really loved. Maybe it got holes in it or got too small as you were growing. But you really loved it. For me, it was an orange jumper. And you really loved it. You didn't want to let it go. But it had to go. And yet it was painful. For the sinner to come to Christ, there is pain. But the old things must go. Here the Lord is not only speaking of how man must reject his old self-effort. Man needs the regeneration of his heart. If you look again in Mark chapter 2 and the verse 22 at the end of the verse. But new wine must be put into new bottles. The Lord then was saying you need a new wineskin. You need a new garment. You need a new robe. And that's what the gospel is all about. The gospel is all about that which is new. And so the message of Christ never was, have your own way, plus this little bit extra. The gospel is something radical, something new. When the Lord saves, he gives a new wineskin, a new heart, to contain the wine that he gives. The Lord clothes that one, not an old ragged garment that has been stitched up, but a robe, absolutely new, absolutely perfect. The gospel is all about the new birth, the new heart, the new beginning, the new man, a new son, walking in newness of life, the new covenant. It's all new. Think of those great words in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And dear sinner, this is your great need then this morning. You need a new heart. You need the Holy Spirit to come upon you this very day and to breathe spiritual life into you. And while the natural man resists the spiritual, yet this is your great need, the new birth. If you turn with me to John chapter 3, John chapter 3, and we read here of Nicodemus coming to Christ by night. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He had the worn-out garments. He had the old wineskins, but he wanted a patch. He wanted new wine for his old wineskin. But what did the Lord say to him in verse 3? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You need the new birth. Now the new birth is the prerogative of God. Man cannot bring about his own new birth. To be born again is to be born from above. That's God's work. And so what is the sinner to do? If he cannot bring about the regeneration of his soul, what is the sinner to do? Well, the Lord preached on that very subject to Nicodemus. In verse 14, John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, the sinner cannot believe in the Lord. The sinner cannot see that the cross is the answer, unless he has been born again. And yet, the Lord said to Nicodemus, your duty is to believe. And I want to emphasize that then to you, dear sinner, this morning. While it's true you cannot bring about your own new birth, this is something the Lord does demand of you. The Lord says you must believe. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You must have faith in Christ. Christ then is the answer. The old worn out garment speaks of your effort. It speaks of your failure. But the new garment speaks of Christ's accomplishment. We have all broken the law, but Christ, he obeyed the law of God in its entirety. And therefore, he purchased for us a robe of righteousness. Man has broken the law of God, but Christ has met the demands of the broken law and the work of the cross. And today then the Lord does not offer to you a patch. He offers a new robe. The Lord does not offer you just wine to put into your old wineskin. He offers you a new wineskin. And do you know what is wonderful? The Lord's robe is always new. What is wonderful is this. His wineskin always remains new. And the wine in it always remains new. You'll never need a patch for the robe. You'll never need a new wineskin again. The Lord, when He gives us something new, it's something that is lasting and it remains new. Will you say this morning, let me keep the old? How foolish. The old garment will be destroyed. It will be rent. The old wineskin will burst open. The parable of rending and bursting. Oh, may you heed the great warning in this parable. May you heed the great invitation in it. Come to something that is real. Come and experience something that is new. Come today and be saved. We trust the Lord bless His word to all of our hearts.